Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
It is useless to resist us.
People's homes are being ruined by these monsters.
It is useless to resist us.
From here, there is no escape.
It is useless to resist us.
I sure would like to get out of here.
Keep your dark glasses on and stay where you are.
The revolution is on.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and welcome. We thank you for tuning in today. CCTA is Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and we're a nonpartisan, nonprofit conservative group. We advocate for freedom, for the Constitution, the rule of law, for all those things that our founding fathers intended for us to have and that have been chipped away by the liberals and the extreme leftists and the socialists and those people that have no good intentions for our country other than what they can get out of it for themselves and what they can destroy for the rest of us. So that'll give you a little bit of a hint of what we like to talk about if you haven't been with us before. If you have been, I'm surprised you came back because...
What? No.
I'm joking. We do like to talk about people that like to refer to us as deplorables, and the shoe fits them better than it does us. So, again, thank you for tuning in. We are going to get started here in just a moment, but before we do, we need to take a quick break so you can hear from our sponsors, and then we'll get the show started.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown Newbern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I hope you listened to our sponsors' ads and took note of who they are, and you're going to go out and visit them and tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call, and we appreciate their sponsorships tremendously. Well, let me introduce who's here tonight. It's the same crowd. If you're a regular, you already know who they are. It's Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Diane Rufino.
Hello.
Hal and Rainer James.
Hey there. Hey.
All right. Those are regulars. They're all members of CCTA and each hold a position of some sort within the organization. Ran across something on Facebook, and this is a post. His name's Phil Yandell. I don't know the guy. I just ran across this. It says, you two can reserve up to two tickets for Trump's next North Carolina rally. Two seats which would be empty when he speaks, denying places for Trumpsters.
What's he talking about? They're never empty.
Well, no, what it is, yeah. This appears to be...
Let him do it, Rick. Just spread the message. Let him do it.
Appears to have come from Pamlico Progressives Group.
Oh, gosh.
A group of progressives down in Pamlico County. Now, that ought to tell you a lot about their character right there. Trying to deny people seats by registering for tickets for those seats and then not showing up. And it also shows you their level of intelligence because those seats aren't going to go unfilled.
No. I'm
happy that they're registering for the tickets because now they'll get on a financial appeals list that they're going to be asked for money.
Yep. Another thing. Go ahead, Raina.
There are as many people outside waiting to get in as there are inside at every venue that I've been to for a long time. There aren't empty seats at Donald Trump rallies. There's just no such thing.
They don't take up the tickets anyway.
Mm-mm. I mean, that's what I was saying. I've been to about five or six rallies. Not once did they ever check to see if I had a ticket.
So. Yeah.
So let them do that. Let them go through the exercise. Let them get the emails. And maybe they'll have a change of heart, and then maybe they'll donate.
Well, you know, the people at those rallies are so overwhelmingly nice, they might actually be drawn in.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just thought that was another example of how the progressives like to function, and they have the nerve to label us as haters and deplorables
and irredeemables. Hey, we welcome them. Come on, come to the next rally.
Are there tickets available for the 24 other candidates?
I don't know.
Other party?
Well, some have dropped out. Right, you're talking about the Democrats? Some of them dropped out.
Well, I don't think you have any problem with the crowd size. I mean, they know how to control that.
Yeah. Okay, well. Let's talk about some local stuff here. Local being North Carolina right now. We still don't have a budget.
No, we don't.
But we have piecemeal legislation.
Yes.
That was passed today. Or I think, I don't know if they passed today. I think they're set to be passed. And I was looking at them today. So the one is to pay Highway Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
One is to pay state workers.
Mm-hmm.
One is to pay...
Teacher raises.
No?
Nope.
Interesting one.
Well, no, it was submitted. I don't think...
Nope. It was...
She's talking about is additional legislation after the budget.
So this is the GOP is trying to make good on their promises, the promise that were in the budget. So, this one that is House Bill 216, I think. That's the number. I think it is. But this one includes a whole bunch of things, including for retirees. But I was going through, I read the bill, and it's... For university professors, for non-certified positions like the custodians, grounds workers. Then you have the high school, but for the high schools, for the public schools, it's only for non-certified personnel, which means not teachers. So they're giving pay raises, and it's not a heck of a lot. It's like 1%, maybe 2.5%. But everyone in the school system gets a raise except for teachers. Not provided yet. I'm sure it'll come down
the
road.
I thought it was in the budget that was passed.
It was in the original budget.
But it got vetoed.
Yeah, but that budget got vetoed. So here's the thing. So I was in Raleigh yesterday. And so I hear that, and talking to a couple of legislators, that they hear that within 2 to 3 days, teachers are getting very antsy. They want their... So they have, I think...
Well, that was the whole purpose of my question.
Yeah, they...
I want to know, like these Pamlico progressives and all the liberals and the teachers' unions and the teachers all in their red shirts, why they aren't raising cane because the governor has denied them their raises.
So they sent a letter to the governor and to the General Assembly wanting their raise. But their issue, their anger should not be with the legislature, because to be honest... These piecemeal legislation, pieces of legislation to pay the people that have been promised, these bills came or proposed by GOP. No Democrats have proposed them. So Democrats had no intention of making good on these pay increases in the new budget. So we're in this, you know, where if the bill was not, the budget was not passed, it resorts to the last session's budget.
The amount budgeted.
So in that budget, so we just don't get the teacher increases, blah, blah, blah. But... these little piecemeal bills to kind of make good on,
the promises
did not come from Democrats, and Democrats didn't want to pass them, actually. So this is the GOP trying to make good. But I think what they're doing is they're waiting for the teachers to vent their anger at the one person who is responsible and let them vent it with the governor.
That's right.
Okay. So why should the GOP pass legislation to pay the teachers when the teachers were protesting and busting their chomps? They don't acknowledge that the Republicans have done good for them. This is like their sixth or seventh consecutive pay increase by the GOP, the Republican dominated General Assembly. So I think what they're doing, I hope this is what they're doing. They're going to let the people get angry, let them have their issue with the governor, let the governor take the hit because we're entering.
Earned it.
Entering the election season, let him take the hard knocks, and then maybe they'll come back in a few more days and give something to the teachers. But the teachers will know if they get their pay increases, it was not because of the governor, not because of the Democrats, but because of the Republicans.
Well, I want to modify that because you're starting to sound partisan here. It was because of conservative policies.
Right. And by legislators who have an R after their name.
Yeah, well, on behalf of CCT, I want to thank Diane Ruffino, who is our Legislative Action Chair, for staying on top of these things, because there's so much going on right now. I mean, no one person could keep up with everything going on.
Right. Well, while we're on the... Go ahead, Mary.
Now, there was something else the governor vetoed recently.
I'm getting ready to go to that.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Bad governor. Bad governor.
Another thing that I think people need to be aware of is that as there was an attempt to override the governor's veto, apparently the governor is using the big stick approach. Mm-hmm. And any Democrat who tries to help override the veto, which would get these pay raises through,
right?
He himself... is swearing that he will send out a primary candidate against them.
And in fact, the way I've heard it described is he invites them for breakfast at the mansion. And the person that he is going to have run against them in the primary is there too. And he makes that clear. This is what's riding on this decision to vote in favor.
I think that's generally we'd call that intimidation.
Right.
That sounds appropriate.
And there are other words for it, too, in legal terms that I'm sure he's very familiar with, being the past top law official for the state of North Carolina, as he likes to tout himself as. But, Mary, going back to what you were saying, other things he's vetoed, I pulled up, there's a website called votesmart.org, and you can put in any office holder's name there. So for Roy Cooper, the third, his voting record. This is the governor of our state. This is what he's doing for us. Now, you can go back and look at him when he was attorney general of the state and find out he did absolutely nothing to protect the citizens of North Carolina or to uphold our Constitution or any of the laws or the bills that were passed. There's a long history there. of his actions as Attorney General, but here as governor, and this starts August 21st, the most recent. Bill number, House Bill 370, requires sheriffs to cooperate with Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, ICE. He vetoed it. I'm not going to give you all the bill numbers. I'm just going to give you the titles. Expands water and wastewater infrastructure among systems utilizing reservoir water. He vetoed it. Appropriates funds for fiscal years 2019 to 2021. He vetoed it. Authorizes alcohol sales at public college sporting events. Aha! He signed that one. That was important.
He's working on that millennial vote. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very important. Establishing or establishes requirements for abortions resulting in premature birth. He vetoed it. Exempts upcoming 2019 election from photo ID requirements. He signed that. Increases incentives cap for high-wage corporate jobs. He signed that. Specifies method of vacancy filling for U.S. senators. He signed that. Amends various state judicial divisions and ballot seat listings. He vetoed it. Amends one-stop voting schedules. He vetoed it. Amends judicial divisions. He vetoed it. Authorizes one-stop early voting sites and annual voter lists maintenance reports. He vetoed it. Amends state retirement benefits for public employees. He vetoed it. Amends various North Carolina insurance laws. He vetoed it. Amends bail bond forfeiture laws. He vetoed it. Limits nuisance liability for farmers. He vetoed it. Limits nuisance damages against livestock farmers. He vetoed it. Establishes Heroin and Opioid Prevention and Enforcement Act. He signed that one. Amends law to include person first language. He signed that one. Authorizes even year primaries to be held in March. He signed that. Requires judicial redistricting. He vetoed it. And I could go on and on. I'll just give you not the bills, but what he did. He vetoed it. He vetoed it. He signed it. He vetoed it. Vetoed. Veto. 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 Sign. Sign. Veto. Sign. Veto. Veto. He's setting a record on vetoes, isn't
he? Hope he has a stamp, because it sounds like he's so busy with the
vetoes. That's where the name Vito Corleone came from.
Yeah. No, that's where the term working across the aisle come from.
Don't go against the governor.
Yeah, getting back to the thing that Mary raised, this kind of started on this conversation about the sheriffs that wanted whether they're going to cooperate with ICE or not. And Chip Hughes was recently at one of our meetings, he and Asa Buck from down in Carteret County and Sheriff Davis in Pamlico. And they all agreed. They said that the sheriffs who would not cooperate with ICE were all urban sheriffs. He says that's what we're calling them now, urban sheriffs. There are only five of them.
Yes. And it's like Mecklenburg and
Charlotte.
Well, that is Mecklenburg County.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the big cities, right. The triangle areas, stuff like that. Yes.
This may seem like a dumb question, but why? What is the advantage of not cooperating with ICE? I don't understand the motive here.
You get to keep more voters in there.
But they can't legally vote if they're not citizens.
That doesn't stop them.
That doesn't slow them up a bit,
they
Mary.
Found at least 500 on the 2016 voter rolls in North Carolina.
Well, I think it's the same mentality that gives you the idea of not sending the not immigrants but the illegal aliens back home where they came from. They don't want to do that. You got your sanctuary cities. That's another part of the same mentality.
We have 6 or 7 sanctuary counties, as recognized by the Center of Immigration Studies in North Carolina right now.
Yeah,
that's sick.
These are your highly Democratic counties, your Durham counties, your Wake County, your Orange counties, your Mecklenburgs.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm not sure where the forces are located, but there's something like 460-something police forces that are short-staffed, short officers, that just cannot get candidates. I mean, when you try to get a candidate for a police department, and then you tell them, well, we're going to selectively tell you which laws are good laws and which laws you must ignore. If you look down in New York City after they fired the I forget the officer's name, the one that was supposedly used the chokehold on somebody.
Yeah.
After the city was told to fire him, the department, mm-hmm. and the union's all up in arms, arrests are way down. Officers are not going to get involved with people anymore. They will stand back and they will take a report,
and that's
but they're not going to get involved.
That's what should happen.
Go ahead, Diane.
Before we go back to this immigration thing, I wanted to mention about the budget. Here's another one of the downside to the governor vetoing the budget. In that budget was a con law. They were going to amend the con laws.
Mm-hmm. Mildly, not a really great change.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But it was a step.
It was a step, right.
For equipment for a certain amount, they would not need to get approval from the General Assembly.
Right.
So they morphed that. They did away with that, and instead they used that money to, or whatever it was, but that became the Highway Patrol pay increase. Mm-hmm. So they had to forego this, and we've all been talking about we have to get rid of these certificate of need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And here was the first step, and Cooper vetoed, and for now we're stuck with our con laws.
I'd like to take something back. That wasn't insignificant because that was a lot of money, $4,500,000. That a piece of equipment would have to cost more than to require a certificate of need. Yeah. So it could have been very significant, really.
So right now we have lawsuits going on in Wake County.
Yeah.
Raleigh Radiology is suing over the certificate of need. And then Duke Medical came in and said, no, we should get the certificate. So they take each other to court because they can only have one certificate of need granted in that county. That's how much control Raleigh has.
That's really good for competition,
right?
Isn't it?
Right.
We wonder why medical costs are so high.
Yeah.
No competition,
right.
You wonder why it's so
long
high.
Wait, you have course, now you have to build in the cost of all the litigation because they always sue every denial over a certificate of need. This is bad. But I wanted to explain why this law they wanted to pass that sheriffs have to comply with ICE. So in North Carolina, and we might remember this with the HB2, if the Raleigh passes a law, no county or no locality can pass a law that's contravenes it or mm-hmm. violates it. So that's why the General Assembly quickly passed HB2, because if Raleigh decided to make a stand on bathroom policy, then Charlotte couldn't have its policy.
That's known as the Dillon Rule. This state, North Carolina, has the Dillon Rule, which means that all the smaller organizations like counties, cities, towns, all of them are subordinate to the state.
Right. So they wanted to pass this law about, sheriffs cannot, they have to comply with ICE, because then you can't have the sanctuaries now. You can't have the sheriffs in the individual counties bucking the system because there's a state law now,
mm-hmm.
and maybe Cooper knew that, and that's why he vetoed this, is so that we could still have our sanctuary counties.
Right. I feel confident that is why he did it.
You know, it's been several days now since I talked to any of our state representatives. We had other things going on, but when I last talked to them, they said it was maybe a good thing if we did not pass a budget, because then they'd have to go by the budget for the previous year and would end up saving the taxpayers a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's
a
good point to end on right there. As we pause to hear from our sponsors once again, and I'll pick up on that when we come back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, if you've been listening, you've heard us talk about our esteemed Governor Roy Cooper and all of his shenanigans and what he's doing to our state. And I'm going to go ahead and get into another one of his shenanigans here. Aside from the theatrics we've already talked about, the Cooper administration has continued to champion corporate welfare at a frenzied pace, with the latest announcement of a multi-million dollar incentive package to Xerox. I didn't know Xerox was hurting for money and needed incentives from the taxpayers, but evidently Governor Cooper's Department of Commerce is now averaging $1.1 million in special tax breaks for corporations per day.
Ooh.
Since the budget veto.
That's sick.
And let's see here. County, Cumberland, Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, $30 million in incentives. The jobs goal there is for 2,000 jobs.
How much do they give to local businesses? I mean, just small mom-and-pop businesses. No, they don't give any money to those people that are struggling to make a living.
And what they seem to miss entirely is that a good climate for business, low taxes, low regulation, you lift
that's
all the boats.
That's
you lift
the
all
incentive.
The businesses.
That's the real incentive.
Yeah, that's real, and it's fair, and it's honorable. This is cheating anybody who doesn't give it. Hey, taking their tax money and giving it to someone else who may very well be their competitors.
And I'd like to see if the officers of those corporations don't contribute to campaigns. I suspect they do. I don't know whether we can find out or not.
All right. ABB Incorporated, don't know who they are. Incentive amount, $4,369,500. Black's Tire Service Incorporated, $75,000. That's for 26 jobs. Merck, they're the drug pharmaceuticals, $4,974,750.
And we know the drug companies are really hurting for
that's
money.
Right. Yes, they really need some incentives to create jobs. Telephonics Corporation, $250,000. And Xerox, $12,324,750 for a total of $51,994,000 in incentives to bring in 3,529 jobs. That's the goal. There's no guarantees they're going to do that.
You know what he used to call us walking around money for the governor?
Oh, Well, what do you reckon he gets back in return for that?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I suspect there is something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suspect there is too. So, Diane.
Yes.
You were just talking about something else our illustrious governor had done.
Well, he may do. We're talking about...
Well, yes. Yeah. We're pretty confident he's going to do it.
Yeah, this is right up his alley. Get his stamp out. Get it ready. So the House had passed a bill called the Taxpayer Refund Bill. Went to the Senate. The Senate passed it yesterday. So it's going to go to the governor's desk, and we think he's going to veto it. And it would probably, hopefully it will be political suicide, but I love the way that the Republicans are putting... The conservatives are putting the governor into tight spots. They're forcing him to take a stand, and he's going to have to explain it away next year. But this Taxpayer Refund Act, so there's a surplus of taxpayer funds. And I think in the Constitution it says that if it's greater than so much that it actually has to go back to the people. So isn't that wonderful that we have conservatives in government that actually abide by the Constitution? Mm-hmm. Democrats absolutely do not want the money to go back to the taxpayers. They say they can
use it. That's the liberals.
Yeah, the liberals. They have other plans for that money, as they always do. So they want to put it into infrastructure. They want to put it back into the school system. Now, our schools are pretty bad, right? You know, there aren't a lot. I mean, you're not... Passing grade is not that good. They're not proficient when they go to college.
I don't think money is the problem,
right,
however.
Right, and I know this from New Jersey. You could pump money into the school system, and it's not going to change the outcomes.
Nope.
Because money doesn't equal outcomes. You need teachers that are committed, and you need ingenuity and heart, you know. But this bill will take $650 million and give it back to as refunds to 5.1 million taxpayers in North Carolina. So that will give them a little bit over $100 each. And for some people, I mean, a good portion of them, they're getting the maximum amount back. Again, I mean, it's not a heck of a lot of money, but people can use it to pay bills. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, pay for school supplies. They can
Schools just started. Right? Everybody's outgrown last year's
and
clothes.
And that's the thing about politicians don't understand is that people have things that they can use their money on. And even $100 matters. It makes a difference.
Of course,
they
it does.
Put
yeah.
into their vacation, but so we'll see. We'll see if it goes if it gets vetoed. But we'll know probably in the next day or two.
Diane, is the surplus if somehow the proposed budget gets through? Is this surplus on if we have to go with last year's budget this year, or is it with the proposed budget for this year?
The proposed budget for this year.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So there. I mean, they. No, they're on safe ground making sure it gets...
Well, wouldn't it be both? Because they both said they would save money. Either they pass this budget or they use last year's
budget.
This
amount that they're giving back is...
Oh, you mean that aspect of it, right.
So now all of it, they're not giving all of it back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a little portion that they're going to put into the rainy day fund because hurricane season
is starting.
So.
But you know, isn't it funny that we call the people who want to give it back conservatives and the people who want the government to keep it liberals? What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, but if you give me back money this year, I'm also going to expect you to give me back money next year. You know, that was the problem with the President Trump had realigned the withholding numbers, that he brought it more into a realistic withholding for people, so they on a weekly basis they got more money. But they were upset with him because at the end of the year, the government didn't give me as much money. It's your own money.
The refund check was smaller.
That's right. All right, let's move on to another topic. You know, early voting has started for the 3rd District Congressional.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I voted today.
You did?
Yep.
Did you vote good?
Mm-hmm. Of course I did.
Okay.
I forgot to vote today.
Well, you know, there's a debate going on about voter fraud. Does it exist or does it not exist?
It exists.
Yeah, it exists. And here's another form of it. North Carolina has referred more than 460 allegations of felons voting illegally to prosecutors since 2015. But so far, fewer than 30 people have been convicted. So,
Well, at least close to 30 have.
Right. Convicted felons in North Carolina who have completed their prison sentence but not probation or post-release supervision are prohibited from voting. But a 2017 audit by the State Board of Elections, commissioned after allegations of fraud made during and after the contentious 2016 elections for president and governor, discovered hundreds of cases. And
500.
Yep. Something that they're trying to do. I'll try to do it from memory because it's too small a print to scroll through here. We've talked about it in the past, and that's people that get out of jury duty by saying they're not legal citizens.
Yeah, we talked about that today on the Tom and Sadie show. That Senate Bill 250.
Yeah.
And that is very close to passing. So it came up in the House. I think it originated in the Senate, passed the Senate, came to the House, came to a second reading and passed. And then for some reason, I don't know why, it was removed from the calendar so they couldn't do the third vote.
That's unusual.
Right? That was yesterday. That was that was the 26th, 2 days ago. So, and then it was re-referred to the Rules Committee. Does anybody know what happens in the Rules Committee?
They die.
Bills go to die. Yeah. Right. So now we don't know. Is this bill going to die, or is someone going to revive it and bring it back to the House floor for the third reading? Because this bill would require North Carolina courts to share with the election officials the names of the people who requested to be excused from jury duty because they are non-citizens.
This came up in a Craven County discussion one time. In Craven County, they're not doing that. They're not cooperating. The courthouse records is not cooperating with the Board of Elections to let people, to find those people out, and they should be.
You know how election fraud was found out? It was Florida by this exact method. Someone went through and they noticed that jury duty. Oh, my God, look, people are getting out of jury duty because they say they're non-citizens. They went to look to see if these people voted. Yeah, they voted. So either they're committing perjury by saying that they're non-citizens on a jury duty, or they're voting illegally.
Right.
But, you know, that's how it started.
That flat out needs to be public record.
And that's where Jay DeLancey of our North Carolina Voter Integrity Project, he said, that's what we have to do in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's right.
Here's another situation with voter fraud. Yesterday, there was an article at The Hill about the Mississippi primary. And the voting machines are changing the votes of people. And they had a video of somebody who was actually trying to vote on a touchscreen voting machine for a particular person, and the voting machine kept on changing their selection.
Ooh.
And they called over the polling official, and they found there were three machines that were doing that. So that's important. Now, I got one more voting-related story.
Well, before you get off of that, there were comments from people in, quote, important places. Oh, that really didn't matter because it's only a primary election, so it's within one party.
It matters in any election.
That one candidate is usurping votes from the other one.
Yeah, you know, this is our democratic element. We have to protect this.
It's happened here before. It happened back when it was when you could vote straight party ticket, and somebody would vote for one party and it would ring it up for totally the other party.
Well, there's another story that is going to impact our 2020 election for president that I think has maybe not been widely reported. As you know, President Obama just bought this beautiful house on Martha's Vineyard for $14 million. And that's nice. But he's gotten back to work. And he's gotten involved with an organization called Redistricting You. And this organization is going to focus on specific states about redistricting. Now listen to what states they're focusing on. Arizona, Colorado, Texas, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. Oddly enough, 9 of these 10 states went for Trump in 2016. And President Trump only lost Colorado by 5%. So Obama is bringing the Democrat Party machine into those 10 states on the premise of, we want to make sure they're correctly redistricted.
Mm-hmm. Up to mischief again.
This organization is working with another organization, the National Redistricting Action Fund, which is chaired by Eric Holder.
Oh, Lord, it just gets worse.
So this is, they're already attempting to throw the 2020 election.
North Carolina is targeted big time. There's a lot of money and outside pressures and influence coming into our state to try, and that's why it's so important. Folks, I don't care what your political leanings are. If you care about your country, it's your responsibility to find out the facts, to find out who you're voting for, to make sure that they are in line with your beliefs and that you need to be voting for that person. And then you need to go to the polls and cast your vote. Don't make excuses, because the ones that are trying to take our state and turn it into a socialist state are out there working hard, and they've got big money behind them. But we can combat that just by going to the polls. We don't have to spend the money. We just need to go to the polls.
Well, I would be more worried about this if I thought the Democrats had a candidate. But that's a whole other discussion.
We're seeing the liberal mindset. What they're doing, these challenges are tied with liberal courts.
Right.
All these challenges go through the courts, and they're counting on those liberal judges finding that there's
that's how they've stopped things that we have legally voted for in past. They've overturned it in courts.
I think more and more conservative judges are being appointed, though.
Yes. So far, North Carolina is not conservative in their court system yet.
No, but I do think progress is being made in that arena.
Well, there's attempts to, anyway. Going back to what I was saying about this, the felons, and because it really ticks me off. It's another instance, another case of, we have laws in place, but they're not being enforced. Can they be enforced? Should they be enforced? Evidently, within our current justice system, no, we can't. Because we had 400 and some complaints filed, I read it, and a small number, only 30 have been convicted. North Carolina has referred more than 460 allegations of felons voting illegally to prosecutors since 2015, but so far fewer than 30 people have been convicted. Why? Why can't our justice system uphold our laws, our legally established
laws? Well, how can we be sure that they just didn't find enough evidence to bring them to trial?
I'm not sure.
The State Board of Election has to do some investigation first, and whether they want to investigate has been a problem.
Right, and like we were talking about earlier, some of those were because they determined that they were fraudulent votes, because they weren't legal citizens, and that's pretty clear. And the court system is not cooperating in providing that information. So, like Hal was saying, that's one problem. But they've come out with a poster that they're going to put up in the polls.
They being whom?
The election board.
Okay.
It's a poster. It says, by signing your voter form today, you certify U.S. citizenship. Non-citizens, including, let me zoom in here, lawful permanent residence green card holders are not eligible to vote. So just because you have a green card, doesn't mean you can vote. Completion of felony sentence. If convicted of a felony, you have completed all terms, including probation, parole, or supervised release. Your address is current. You have lived at the address on your voter form at least 30 days prior to election day. If not, please update your address. You have not already voted. Knowingly voting more than once is an election is a crime. Now, I work the polls as a judge.
Mm-hmm.
When we hand them their authorization to vote form, they have to sign, and all this information's already on there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to verify it that I'm aware of. They sign it. It gets signed. But then what? How do you question that?
Yeah.
Somebody has to challenge it. Something has to happen. And we've got these laws in place, but how are they being enforced? Another one, curbside voting.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that being taken advantage of?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I mean, that's...
We've seen vans, and it was clear from the activity in the bus that that the driver was really voting as many times as he had passengers.
Okay. Don't they have to sign? And I already know the answer is yes. They have to sign an affidavit that they're voting curbside because they are physically not able to come into the polls and vote.
Yeah, and that's abused badly.
I was working the polls one time, working for a candidate, of course, and this guy came up on a bicycle, and he was from down on one of the projects. He came riding in on his bicycle, and he said, "Hey, did anybody see such and such?" I've forgotten what he was asking for.
Some personal item.
Personal item, yes. And I said, "No, where do you think you lost it?" He said, "Well, I came down here in one of the vans and went through the line here by the curb, so it might have fallen out somewhere near the curb." I said, "You did what?" He's riding down on a bicycle. He's not too handicapped to ride a bicycle all down there looking for his personal items. But he was so handicapped he had to vote on a curbside.
I've seen some very questionable activities at the polls.
Yeah.
It's funny, the question about living in a place for at least 30 days, your current address for at least 30 days. That's one of the questions you have to ask. You have to ask their name and their address, and you'd be surprised how many people have to think about it. And you'd also be surprised.
I've seen people consult a piece of paper.
You'd also be surprised how many people have to ask the person they're with what their address is. But what do you do? If they answer the question, they get the vote.
You know what I think might help? If you took the thing you just read to us and had somebody record it so that the it was very clear what the message was, and had that played over a loudspeaker periodically so that the people in the coming to vote could hear it, might make them think once or twice.
I think that's wishful thinking. All right, well, let's take a quick break.
Well, I'm wishful.
I say one more thing about the curbside. It's amazing how it picks up when it rains hard.
Well, you know, the aches and pains that front coming in can cause could be considered a disability, I guess. I don't know. All right, well, let's take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back in just a moment.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
Our next concealed carry class is scheduled for December 16.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Yo,
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Well, welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've enjoyed today's program. Hope you have. We appreciate you tuning in and sharing time with us. I want to remind you that everything you need to know about CC taxpayers or Coastal Carolina taxpayers is at cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. That's our website. It has all our information there. And Hal, you just recently suggested that we put the membership application up there, so I'm working on that. If you really want to join, it's not hard. There's a donate button, and you'll automatically be a member.
No. And Rick, we do need more members. The more the merrier. We've got lots of work to do, and we can share it out.
We've got a lot of committees. The Legislative Action Committee, Hal mentioned, with Diane as the chair there. We've got education committees. We've got immigration committees. We've got
Homeland Security.
National Security Committee. We've got vetting committees that vet the candidates and put the reports up online. And they're very, very, very understaffed right now. We need more hands in there helping us out with all that.
Amen.
Hal, you had something else you wanted to mention?
Well, Rain and I attended a meeting this evening that was held in a wonderful venue up there, Copper Ridge, here on Old Cherry Point Road. It's as beautiful a venue as you could possibly imagine. And the son of the President of the United States was there, and one of the TV personalities was there. And it was really good, and I liked the way that the son of the president started off saying something about how great it was to be in the great state of North Carolina, and that we had a prayer. We had an invocation at the beginning of our meeting. We had a Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the meeting. He said, boy, the DNC, they'd have thrown you out, or a lot of meetings I've been to, they wouldn't allow that. But, you know, it reminded me of this. I would have rather he said eastern North Carolina, because the places in North Carolina, they probably wouldn't do that, too. There are some places, four or five counties, I guess. But here in eastern North Carolina, we still have the strong fundamental values of patriots. I believe that very strongly.
Well, you didn't mention his name, but he was a real son of a P.
Yeah, he was. Now what?
A real S.O.P.
What does that mean?
Son of a president.
And Kimberly Guilfoyle was the celebrity's name, and she did an excellent job. And she mostly talked about how you ought to work hard for what you believe in, and back the folks that you want, that you think will help, and that sort of thing. And it was very. She has a lot more personality and is even prettier, Raina will let me say that, than she looks on TV.
I noticed it, that on television she sometimes looks kind of harsh. She looked gentle and friendly and approachable and just real folks.
Well, now that you mention that, she was on Fox mm-hmm. News. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of talk now, even the president's tweeting out that we've lost Fox News. They're no longer... our friends like they used
with
to be.
With few exceptions, I'm afraid that's true.
And he said they're not working for us anymore. Of course, that created another Twitter storm on the firestorm on the internet that, well, we don't work for you. We're not supposed to.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
I think what he meant would be like if I said I used to drive a Volkswagen, but when I started a family, it wasn't working for me anymore, so I bought a bigger car.
Yeah.
I think that's what he meant was it's not working for us anymore, but they take it
misinterpretation
literally.
Misinterpretation is taken to a very high level of the left.
He didn't mean it as employment.
By the way, there were people there from Onslow, Craven, Carteret, Beaufort counties,
Pitt?
Pitt County. Yeah, there were people from all around. Oh, Dare County. They were from all around. And you warned me to say nonpartisan. Did I say that pretty well, nonpartisan? I thought I did.
No, I think you're okay.
Okay.
One comment on Fox. They have lost a step in a sense of they're not as conservative as they used to be. You've got to watch their panels and be very careful who's mm-hmm. talking. However, because they are still more conservative than CNN and MSNBC,
right. Oh, yeah.
Their ratings are going through the roof.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Really?
All right. MSNBC is really in the tank. Diane, wrap us up with one final comment.
This is important, guys. The freedom of the press is not for the press. The freedom of the press is for us.
Hear, hear.
Okay? We want that free press so that they give us the entire marketplace of ideas so that we have all the views that we need to go to the ballot box and make the right decision.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. And we'll let you talk about the rest of our rights on our next show.
Okay. Right.
Well, folks, thanks again for tuning in. That's cctaxpayers.com. And thank you for joining us on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.